Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually, we're great, but together, we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, everybody, it is Tuesday, March 26th, 2024, and it is indeed a heck of a morning. We are live on the MMA Fighting Twitter space. You can hear the show in its entirety shortly thereafter on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. What's up, everybody? I am Mike Heck. Hope you're all having a great start to the week. We are coming off of, I was going to say a memorable weekend of fights, but a weekend of fights. And there were some things that certainly happened. There was fighting. There was biting. There was other things that happened. New champions were crowned. Losing streaks were snapped. And I guess that's really it. Started on Friday with Bellator Belfast. That went down. That was certainly an event. Manuel Souza with an incredible knockout to kick off the main card. Leandro Ego defeats James Gallagher in a fight that happened. Speaking of fights that happened, Fabian Edwards defeated Aaron Jeffrey. And then we saw the old dog, Patricio Pitbull, get in there. Jeremy Kennedy looked like he was gaining some momentum late in that fight. First round was a Patricio round. Kennedy turned it on in round two. Just turned it on even more in round three. And then Pitbull landed a big shot. Mauls him, gets the finish, retains his Bellator featherweight title, and then Corey Anderson became a world champion. Corey Anderson all over Carl Moore. Carl Moore obviously had some moments. When the fight was standing, it was all Carl Moore, but Corey Anderson's ground game was just too much. The pace was too much, and Corey Anderson is a champion. So that was the first Bellator event under the new PFL banner. It was on Max, which was kind of cool. But still, it felt for a reimagining of Bellator. I came out of that event feeling like we didn't really reimagine anything. That was a very Bellator-y card. Wasn't horrible. Wasn't tremendous. It was fine. And then the next day, we have the UFC card, and it was kind of more of the same. We did see some good performances. We had a biting DQ from Igor Severino. He's no longer with the promotion. Andre Lima gets a bite of the night bonus, which is just the cheesiest thing I've ever heard, but pretty cool nonetheless. Other notable things, Julian Arosa gets the first round submission over Ricardo Hamas. We had Fernando Padilla submit Luis Puello. Yusuf Salal finishing Billy Q. Not a lot of people had that on their bingo cards, but nice to see Yusuf Salal back in the UFC, making things happen. Peyton Talbot, man, this guy's super good. Goes out there and finishes Cameron Simon. That fight was not really all that competitive. Edmund Shahbazyan finishes AJ Dobson. Had a little bit of trouble early, but comes through and gets first round finish. Co-main event, penultimate fight, Carl Williams doing Carl Williams things, defeats Justin Toffa, and then Rosnami Yunus gets a decision win over Amanda Ribas. So we can talk about those things. We can talk about whatever the hell you want. So let's go. 4-ounce sniper will lead us off today. Go ahead, 4-ounce sniper.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I apologize. My phone connected to the truck. Can you hear me now?
I got you. I had you before.
Okay, appreciate you. Heck of a morning, first of all. And just real quick, I want to talk about two things. First off, shout out Yusuf Zalal. I believe that was his first, I don't know if that was his first win, but I know that was his first finish in the UFC. He struggled, I believe, some years back whenever he first got to UFC. He's still fairly young, and it seems like he finally, you know, put it together after getting a couple wins outside the UFC, then coming back. Can't wait to see him back in the octagon. And my question for you is about Igor Da Silva. I heard that the UFC withheld his purse from him after obviously biting his opponent. I wanted to know your thoughts on that. Do you think that was deserved? Do you think they should have just fined him instead? Or how do you feel about that? And if that was true, obviously. But that's all I got for you, Mike. Heck of a morning.
Yeah, so let me pull up that article since we broke that story. We'll start with Yusuf Zalal. Yusuf is fun, man. Like, he's always been fun. And when he first signed with the UFC, I was pretty excited about that. Him and Brandon Royval were, like, fighting on LFA cards together and kind of battling out, like, who got the crazier finish as teammates. So that was – it was kind of like a cool little storyline developing through the regional scene before they both got to the UFC. But good on Yusuf. That was his fourth UFC win, but it was his first UFC finish. And he gets it done. And I saw a lot of people I saw the betting lines kind of make it really even. So I understood there's some betting value on Billy Q to some extent. But the amount of people who were just kind of going through and just being like, yeah, man, Billy Q is going to kill Yusuf Zalal. I didn't really buy into that. Yusuf had a good start to his UFC run the first time around, won his first three fights. And then after his three-fight win streak, he has to fight Ilya Topuria on short notice. Ilya Topuria subbed in for Sungwoo Choi on Fight Island back in 2020, and we all know how good Ilya Topuria is. Not an easy guy to fight on as a short notice replacement. And he does fight Sungwoo Choi, loses, and then loses a split decision to Sean Woodson. Fight that a lot of people thought he won. And then fights Damon Blackshear to a draw. And I think the big thing is you're correct. He was just kind of young. Maybe, you know, mentally he wasn't ready for the UFC. But he seems ready now. That was a pretty solid outing against a top 25 guy, top 30 featherweight. So that was very impressive. So looks like he's coming into his own, and that's just a nice, exciting addition to this featherweight division. So Igor Severino obviously was the big story of the weekend. He is disqualified in his fight with Andre Lima. He bites him. It was quite the bite. I will admit I didn't watch a second of that card live. I went back and rewatched some stuff after on to the next one. I did watch this. A lot of people were giving Brendan Fitzgerald some crap because he was like, yeah, just give him a warning and you just can't do that. Because this is a chomp. This is not an accidental bite. This is not a, you know, mouthpiece got shifted. Just an accident. No, this was not an accident. And as our own Steve Morocco reported, and just to be clear, the UFC did not withhold his purse. This is not a UFC decision. This is a Nevada Athletic Commission decision. So just to make that perfectly clear. So we don't blame the UFC for this. We blame the commission for this. According to our own Steve Morocco, Severino did not get paid at all. Quote, Severino's purse was withheld by the Nevada Athletic Commission after he was disqualified for biting Lima in the second round at the Apex. According to a person with knowledge of the situation, the person asked to remain anonymous because they were not authorized to discuss the matter publicly. The exact amount of Severino's purse is unknown because they don't publicly disclose. Severino faced a potential suspension and fine for his behavior at next month's meeting. Since his bite is without precedent in MMA, it is unclear what the potential punishment could be. Mike Tyson was fined $3 million and his boxing license revoked after his infamous bite fight where he repeatedly bit then-champion Evander Holyfield's ear, tearing off a part of it. I mean, kind of the right call, honestly. So, I mean, I would like to hear from him. I would assume that we will be the first people he talks to, because we have the Brazilian beast on the team and he has a relationship with everybody. So yeah, it sucks, man. And he's young and hopefully this doesn't like completely define him. I mean, he's what? Is he 20? I think he's like 20. He's 20. He'll be 21 in like a month. So with the UFC, there's certain lines that, because much like WWE, WWE is like as close to a never say never sort of entertainment promotion. I know it's not the same as MMA and the UFC. They're under the same umbrella. So never say never equates much more in WWE than it does in UFC. But the way Dana sort of handled it and gave him a $25,000 bonus and then gave him a $50,000 bonus, Andre Lima, that is, after getting the tattoo, doesn't seem like there's much of a future for him. But we'll see what the next few years looks like. Let's see what he has to say about it. Let's see if he can show contrition about it in some way. But yeah, man, for a 20-year-old kid, he finally makes it to the UFC, gets in there, gets his contract, and then to have it end like that. This to some extent, but you can't be biting people in fights, man. You just can't. Doesn't matter how old you are, how inexperienced you are, there's just certain things you don't do. And this is one of them because it's never happened before in the UFC. I mean, there's other biting sort of incidents, but not to the point where somebody got disqualified and it was like, especially in Nevada, like something like this. It's going to be real interesting to see what next week looks like and what his suspension is. And then we'll kind of go from there. And I'm sure we'll talk about it next week when it happens. But pretty wild shit. Don't be biting people. Especially in sanctioned cage fights. Left Lane MMA, are you there?
Yep, can you hear me?
Yes.
Couple things I wanted to talk about. First of all, obviously I know you say the motto, if it's not reported by MMA Fighting, don't believe it. I'm not sure if you guys have reported this, but a couple fights that I saw. Barboza versus Lerone Murphy, May 18th in the Apex, Volkov versus Almeida, UFC 302, and then also Fluffy Hernandez versus Dalidzi 302. So if you could confirm those, that'd be good. But also wanted to talk about, I assume you would have seen, or if you haven't, seen Dana's recent interview with TNT Sports. I forget who the interviewer's name was, but talking to TNT Sports, saying that couple things I picked up, saying that they're going to be announcing some like the details for the England card soon and that it will be a numbered card as well. So we're looking at a pay-per-view in July is what it seems to be. And then also saying that he's going to be announcing stuff for the Saudi Arabia card as well. And I guess I just wanted to maybe chuck out a couple ideas or get what you think is going to be or what you think we could see with, I assume, obviously a fight night in Saudi Arabia and a pay-per-view in England. I'm thinking like Saudi, do we get, you've got to expect Hamza, surely. Or if they want to go crazy with it, you could do Islam. Like you want to see maybe Umana Magomedov on there too, like Shara Magomedov, those kind of guys. That's what I'm expecting there. Maybe Makhachev versus like a Royval could be on there. And then for England, I guess, I assume we got to be seeing Aspinall. Maybe we go maybe we get really cool with it and we go double title fight. We get Aspinall in the main and then Leon versus Belal in the co-main. I know no one's going to be hyped about Leon versus Belal, but obviously everyone was talking about how there's no way that can be the 300 co-main. I think if you're putting a welterweight title fight as the co-main to any other card than 300, I don't think anyone's going to complain. So if they did Aspinall versus Blades and then Leon versus Belal as a main and co-main, then Chuck, you know, like Arnold Allen versus like Giga Chikadze. I'm hearing some rumors about that too. And then like Paddy on there, get maybe MVP on there, stuff like that. I reckon we could be cooking with gas. So what do you reckon about that? What do you reckon about Dana's interview and also the other fight announcements that I mentioned before, if they are confirmed? Thanks, Mike.
All right, so the fights, I'm going to try to remember everything you just talked about. Lerone Murphy, Edson Barboza, main event, May 18th. We have confirmed that. It is not done. Both sides are in. Both sides have agreed. Penn has not gone to paper on that fight yet, but that's pretty much penciled in to headline May 18th. Location TBD, I assume it would be at the world's most famous Apex. But that's where we are at right now. Jailton Almeida, Alexander Volkov for 301. I would say, if we're going to play likely, unlikely, I would say likely. I'll say likely. We haven't like 1,000% confirmed that, but it seems like that is what's going to happen. And I got to be honest with you, my friends, I don't love it. I don't love it. Like, I like the fight. And I understand the need to put some names on that card because it's pretty not great right now. But Jailton just got knocked out pretty brutally by Curtis Blades. It's not like he, you know, it was like a TKO where he was defending himself. He was like knocked out almost unconscious with like one shot, and then Curtis hit him like 1,000 times after. So maybe it's too soon. Maybe it's not. I don't know, but we'll certainly get our answers about Jailton Almeida's heavyweight future if he can get a win there. But I'll say likely, but we haven't like fully confirmed that one yet. What was the other one? Fluffy versus Roman Deliza. Yeah, we reported that one, so that is a go. That is a go. I found out that was a thing at about 10 o'clock last night. Damon Martin confirmed the other side shortly thereafter that, but yeah, that's a go for UFC 301. I believe Penn has gone to paper on that fight. That fight is signed, sealed, and delivered. So that's a good one. That's a good one for June 1st. I didn't watch the Dana interview with Adam Catterall. That is the reporter's name. I had heard rumblings as well that they were going to be turning that UK card into a pay-per-view. I found out yesterday that was kind of the plan because there were reports, as you mentioned, that Arnold Allen was fighting Giga Chikadze on that card. If we're playing likely, unlikely, I will say, like, if we're metering, I would say the meter is more towards likely on that one. But it's not done. I think it's premature. I think the report is, I'm not going to say it's like an inaccurate report, but I think it's a premature report from the discussions I've had. It's a little early on that. Is that fight being talked about for that card? Yes. Am I one to say, yeah, lock it up? No, I'm not going to say that just yet. Again, I'm not saying the report is like totally wrong. I just think it's a little early on that. As far as dates, I'm hearing late July. Again, it's a little bit fluid right now. July 27th was a date that was sort of being discussed as of right now. But again, not 100% done yet. Everything's still sort of fluid. Pay-per-view, I think you got to do it now, and I think it's pretty clear how you do it. I think the main event will be Leon Edwards versus Belal Muhammad. Again, I have no insight to this, but It just seems like the undisputed title will probably get full bore, get the headline spot. Leon is kind of the face of UK MMA right now. So I'd be shocked if he's not in the main event. And then you could throw Tom Aspinall, Curtis Blaydes as the co-main event. I think that makes a ton of sense. So, you know, Alan Chikadze, we'll see how Renato Moicano does at UFC 300 against Jalen Turner. I think Paddy Pimblett versus Renato Moicano is building a little bit of steam. Paddy seems to want that fight as well. Obviously, if you heard Moicano on the MMA Hour, he wants that fight as well. So that's where we're at there. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I think we're going to get a ton of announcements heading into UFC 300. And should be fun. Saudi, again, no insight. I would say, I think Makhachev Royval makes a ton of sense. I would also say Khamzat Chimaev versus Paulo Costa makes a ton of sense. That'd be a damn good main event. We'll see what happens with Islam. I mean, just looking at if they're going to do Leon versus Bilal in the UK, do they do Islam versus Dustin in June 1st on that newer card? Or what it appears to be the newer card, which would be 302. We'll see how it all plays out. But yeah, things are about to start cooking. So get ready for some announcements, my friends. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's try to get Nicholas in here. We don't really have a lot of luck. His connection is never really agrees with us for some reason, but maybe we have him today. Nicholas, do we have you?
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, or whether your team is around the corner or on another continent altogether, Atlassian software is built to help keep you all on the same page from start to finish. That way, every one of your teams, from engineering and IT to marketing, HR and legal, can stay connected and move together as one towards shared company-wide goals. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'm just a quick thought about Rose's performance on Saturday. I know she said on the MMA Hour with Ariel that she has no intention going back down to 115. I just think she's too small for the flyweight division. So I don't quite see what's next for her. So I was just wondering your thoughts about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, the idea of Rose going to 125, that came to light when I spoke with her. She was doing, this is a couple of years back, she was doing something with Polaris, I think it was, and we discussed this. This is after the Carla Esparza fight, and she said that she wanted to go to 125. She basically said, do the math. She wanted to compete in some jiu-jitsu or some grappling matches, but one of the things she wanted to do at this point in her life, in her career, she wanted to hit the weights. She wanted to do some weightlifting. She wanted to put on some size and muscle, and that takes time. That takes time, especially someone with the frame of a Rose Namajunas. So I'm not sure what her strength and conditioning program looks like. I'm not sure the kind of numbers she's putting up in the gym. But she definitely looked bigger this time around. She definitely looked – I'm not going to say she looked like a flyweight, but she didn't look like a strawweight against Amanda Ribas. She definitely put on a little bit of size. She was definitely – the frame filled out a little bit more. So she's getting there. I understand why people feel like she is too small. Yes, she beat Amanda Ribas, who is also technically a strawweight. So it's pretty much like, you know, two strawweights fighting at 125. We saw how she fared against Manon Fiorro. I know she got dinged up real quick in that fight. And you could definitely see like the difference. Like when Rose was hitting Manon, Manon wasn't budging. And when Manon was hitting Rose, you could definitely see like an impact to it. Almost like when Max Holloway fought Dustin Poirier. You could see the difference. Like Max was hitting Dustin and he was landing some good shots. But when Dustin hit Max, yeah, he didn't drop him, didn't like hurt him badly, but you could definitely see the difference. And that's something Rose is going to have to figure out. She's going to have to put on a little bit more size. I don't know how she's going to do it, but I thought it was a fine performance. She dug deep. I like the Macy Barber fight. I think that makes a ton of sense. The other option, if they're not going to do Macy, I know Macy spent a lot of time in the hospital. If you go to her Instagram, pretty rough stuff. But if this is something like they want to get Rose right back in there, I know Jessica Andrade is fighting at UFC 300. Win or lose against Marina Rodriguez, Andrade don't care. She'll just go fight at any weight class you ask her to. Let's do the trilogy there. Either of those two fights at 125 makes sense to me. If she can beat Macy, if Rose can beat Macy Barber, and I think that's a winnable fight for her, then she's probably going to get a title shot. So we'll see how that plays out. I thought it was fine. I definitely thought she looked a little more flyweight-ish, not quite there, but the frame filled out a little bit, and she looked fine. She looked fine. Let's go to Lee. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Mike. Good morning. Just two quick ones. I was wondering if you had seen Nick Diaz post his potential, you know, teasing of a comeback. And I was just wondering if you think that was more likely to for him to come back in the boxing ring or octagon. And I think I can't remember what the other question I had, but yeah, just wanted you to touch on that.
Yeah, I saw the video of him sort of hitting the bag and saying that he's coming back and all that stuff. I don't know. If it's the same dude that showed up and fought Robbie Lawler not that long ago, I kind of don't want to see it. This dude, I mean, if you follow his Instagram and stuff, like he seems in tremendous physical condition, but we saw some of that as well. Like he was cutting down to 170. I think he even made a test cut to 55, if memory serves me correctly. I don't know, but he got real good shape. And then when he fought Robbie Lawler, was moved up to a middleweight fight, and he didn't look good. He didn't look good. So could we see him fight maybe on the card with his brother? I don't think that's a bad idea. I mean, that's obviously some star power. You have both Diaz is fighting together, but you would definitely need the UFC's permission to do that. And if the UFC is hosting a pay-per-view on June 1st, are they going to sort of sacrifice any potential buys by having a big name like Nick fight on that same card? I don't know. But if he fights in the UFC, if you do it at 170, I don't know. You got to throw him in there at the vet. Like, I don't want to see – like, I don't want to see Nick fight, like, Shafkat Rakhmonov or anybody like that or anybody, like, good. I'm not saying, like, the guy who put him in there is not good, but someone with like-minded veteran values, a Matt Brown or, you know, a Joe Lozon going up to 70 or – some maybe a Jim Miller going to 170, like something like that, I'd be okay with. Paul Felder, that's not bad. We do him and Paul Felder at 170. I don't hate that idea, but that would be about it. And hopefully Nick is happy and he wants to fight. See, that's the thing. Seems like he wants to fight. And as long as he wants to fight, there you go. Or you can do Nick versus Tony Ferguson. That's not horrible either. So we'll see how that all plays out. I think Lee figured out his second question. Do you have that, Lee?
Yeah, I was going to ask about the your thoughts on the Brandon Moreno taking the time off.
Yes. Good question. I knew I was something I was going to mention. Let's pull it up. From MMAfighting.com, great website. So he went, Moreno goes on Instagram, kind of frees his mind on an Instagram post, does it in Spanish. And shout out to MMA Junkies Danny Segura for the translation. Moreno says, I just think I've reached a limit in my mind and I'm tired. It's not goodbye or anything like that. It's just wait for me, be patient with me, let my body, but more than anything in my mind, my head compose itself and recover. We're going to get back to doing things right. The last time that happened, I came back, I became a world champion. I like to think I can do the same. And when I return, I'm going to go on a tear. I still think I'm an incredible fighter and I have all the qualities and abilities to be champion again. What else does he say? Shout out to Jose Youngs as well for some translation. What else did he say? Let's see. I think with all the technical aspect things aside, I think I'm just tired. I'm tired of the media. The same questions, the vibe, the constant pressure. I don't even think it's a single moment anymore. I think it's everything I've piled on my shoulders in the last few years. I've reached a point where my mind is stressed and I just want to rest a bit. I'm not saying I'm 100% stepping away from MMA, but I do want to take a break to rest, be with my family and just be a normal person, be with my daughters and just do new things. Yeah, good for him, man. I mean, you got to look out for number one, Brandon Moreno. Jesus Christ, man. The last 4 years of his life has been a friggin' whirlwind. Just like, look at what this dude has, you know, sort of gone through and accomplished, etc. This guy has experienced all of the ups and downs of the sport in a 4-year stretch. It's pretty wild. So he gets cut from the UFC after losing to Pantoja. Goes to LFA, wins the title, the flyweight title, re-signs to the UFC in 2019, fights Askar Askarov, a guy nobody in that division wanted to fight. It's a split draw. I thought Moreno clearly won that fight. I thought he got a little bit of a hose job on that night in September of 2019, but I digress. Then he beats Kai Kara France, beats Jussier Formiga, and then from there he gets Brandon Royval. This is November of 2020, UFC 255. Finishes Brandon Royval in the first round. And then less than a month later, 3 weeks later, he comes back to fight for the belt against Davison Figueiredo. And these two guys had a fight of the year contender, goes to a majority draw, tremendous fight. And Brandon Moreno's star power begins to rise. Now, this was a time when... And then Moreno wins the belt against Figueiredo 6 months later. and then loses the belt to Figueiredo a little while after that. And this is a time in my career where I was like Brandon Moreno's like number one guy to talk to. I was getting Moreno interviews left and right. I was getting the first reactions after his fights. It was a good time. I honestly, and I've said this on the show before, if the UFC came to me right now and they said, give me one person on the roster that you would want to talk to right now. Like, I'll set it up, anything. 5 minutes from now, who would you want to talk to? And yes, like, everybody would say Conor McGregor for the clicks and the views and all that stuff. But I'm talking about for me, personally. For Mike Heck, who would I want to talk to? It's Brandon Moreno. It's Brandon freaking Moreno. He is a delight. Him and I are always on the same page. We have, like-minded, thoughts in our heads where, we'd rather talk about nostalgic shit than just talk about the ins and outs of the fight game. I always enjoy those conversations. These are memorable. And Brandon and I always had, like, a great time chatting. And then I don't think I've talked to Brandon Moreno in an interview capacity in, like, well over 2 years. Obviously, there's reasons for that. Nothing bad, but, Moreno, a lot of it is, one, Moreno does a lot of interviews. He feels like he's getting a lot of the same questions. He's had media members kind of screw him over when there's certain things he didn't want to get asked about, still being asked about them, which is fucked up interviews for me. I won't get into who and when and why, but that is fucked up interviews for me. I'd have him on the schedule. I was told, like, hey, please don't bring this up. He doesn't want to talk about it. And then he would do an interview with another website, and they would bring it up, even though they were told not to. And Brandon would be pissed, and he was like, no, I'm not doing any more interviews, and that sucks. And then, obviously, Ariel's back on the site and doing the MMAR, and clearly you get much more going on Ariel's show than you would be chatting with me. I mean, I understand that. So it's been a hot minute since I've talked to him, and Brandon's kind of gone through the car wash at this point. Like, all his interviews are through the car wash. Just the same shit over and over again. And if it's not the same shit, it's just like not fun stuff that I know he'd never really liked to do. And I just think the whole sport in general just kind of got to him. I mean, just look at what this dude has done since November of 2020. 3 weeks later, fights for the belt. Then he wins the belt. Then he loses the belt. Then he wins an interim belt. Then he wins back the other belt. Then he loses the belt again. And then he loses again in split decisions. This guy just gone through the ringer. So good on him. If he needs, I would rather, honestly, I think it's a good idea for him to take a break, get some separation from the sport. And I shout out to Moreno for having the wherewithal to think that way. And when he's ready to come back, I'll be excited for it. See what the division looks like when he does, because it could be a vastly different place. He could be returning to a world where Steve Urseg is the freaking flyweight champion of the world. How about that? J-Stack, go ahead.
Hello, Mike Hecker, for morning to you.
What's up, buddy?
In your opinion, is Paulo Costa hinting at fighting Jared Cannonier next? And if so, is it possible we could get that at UFC 301 in Brazil? Yeah, that'd be all for me.
Maybe? I don't know. I haven't seen any clues from Paulo. I would say, if I'm the UFC, if I'm looking at this from a UFC promotional perspective, I would think they would want to make the Khamzat Chimaev fight. I think that makes the most sense. Because otherwise, like, Khamzat fighting Cannonier or Costa both make tremendous amounts of sense. But Costa fighting Cannonier and then Chimaev left without, like, anybody to fight, like, who's he going to fight? You know what I mean? So we'll see how it all plays out. I don't know if they do Costa versus Cannonier. Do they do Costa versus, like, Kamaru Usman? Maybe. You could see that happening. And then you do Khamzat versus Cannonier. I'm not really sure. I'm sure we'll have an announcement forthcoming sooner rather than later. But yeah, I mean, I'm just happy Costa's going to fight like turn back around at some point this year.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Absolutely, go ahead.
So, Mike, kick of the morning. Just got a few questions I want to ask. Firstly, with everything heating up in the UFC over the next few months, with locations and fights and whatnot, when do you see guys like John Jones, Ilia Topuria, returning possibly, or even Adesanya? Because, you know, we know they still have fights that are scheduled to be made. And obviously, depending on when and where that happens, I'm curious to know what, the UFC plans to do with those fights. And also, I just want to ask another question. I'm not sure if you saw the Dana White interview with Lex Fridman, but it was actually quite interesting. But I have to say, this guy, look, I like Dana, but he is absolutely fucking hilarious, but delusional at the same time. Because, you know, I mean, look, we all like what he does for the sport. We all like, you know, his ambition and stuff, but He was asked a question about, you know, what's his thoughts on retirement, and he just came with the most, like, I don't know, most funniest but odd quote ever, and it just made me laugh for a second, because the way he said it, you know, he comes up acting like as if he's been in that same position some of his own fighters have been, and, you know, I can understand he may be talking from a business fan perspective. I'll read the quote. Basically, he says something like, you know, everybody talks about retiring. Fuck that shit. What am I going to do when I retire? What would I do? I like to go to war. I like to battle. I like to win. Sometimes I lose, but then I have to come back from the loss. So I would assume he's talking about this power slap and, you know, Dana White contender stuff and Apex, which is fine. I mean, you know, it's a good, fair business deal for him. But, you know, if you look on the other hand, he's never been like in a fight like his, the people he signed in have done so. And he's kind of not really, I guess, cared enough to do enough for his fighters, in my humble opinion, even though he has helped the sport grow a lot. But, yeah, I just wanted to, I was just curious on your thoughts on that. That's really all I have, man. Have a great day.
No, I didn't watch a single second of that. I can't put myself through that. Just can't. Can't do it. But if that's something you want to watch, go right ahead. Look, I've been saying forever, Dana, like out of, and this is you reading that quote just signified everything I've been saying for like the last 3 years. No matter what you say about Dana, regardless, out of spite, he will continue to do his job. I think it's pretty obvious at this point. Like, Dana's still the face of the company and all that stuff. But I think it's pretty obvious that, how do I want to phrase this? He's not all in on the UFC anymore. Like, he's already won the game. That place runs itself at this point. If Dana was like, you know, if Dana came out tomorrow and was like, I'm stepping back as my role of CEO of the UFC, and I'm going to focus on other things, people would react to it and we create headlines and we talk about it on the show. But a month later, we wouldn't even notice it. We would not even notice it. We went through a fight week and like John Anik is hosting the press conference and you just have somebody else in there sort of answering the questions or whatnot. Like, that's the only thing we really like. That's the only thing that I think that would really be something we missed, or it'd be like, okay, it's just not the same not having Dana at the post-fight press conference or something. And I'm not saying this is like, I'm not saying this in a bad way, because Dana deserves a ton of credit for putting the promotion in the position that it's in right now. He's the one when he gave a when he truly gave a shit and he was 100% all in on the sport, and they were scratching and clawing and all that stuff, like, that's when he was at his best. That's when you saw him at a press conference just lighting shit up at a pre-fight press conference. Like, he was the guy getting everybody fired up. He was the guy selling the extra pay-per-views. That guy's gone. That guy's gone now. And it's okay. He takes that energy and puts it into other things. Power Slap. And Dana is so passionate about Power Slap right now because the MMA media thinks, like, we don't give a shit about it. As I've said on the show a million times, it ain't for me. I will never watch second one of it. I will scroll through all the slaps on social media. It's just not for me. There are a lot of people that it is for. It is a social media young group sort of thing that will find success on social media, but there is not a single television network that will ever invest in Power Slap. It's just not going to happen. Like, the TBS thing was a time buy. TBS was like, oh, Dana, I got to tell you, I got to have Power Slap on my network. No, it seemed by all indications it was clearly a time buy. They wanted to give it a shot. The ratings were horrendous, no matter what they want to tell you. Going on television with that product was a horrible business decision. It made no sense. Going on Rumble is brilliant. Being a social media gangbuster, brilliant. That's where this goes. That's where all the financials, that's where all the money is made on Power Slap, is on social media and people just scrolling through. Oh, what is this? Oh, some rando is getting slapped in the face, defenseless. There is a majority of people who will watch that and be like, oh, this is interesting. But that's where his power lies. And it's because he wants to stick it to the scumbag media who thinks it's like kind of a dumb idea and thought it was in poor taste after everything that happened New Year's Eve, that 3 weeks later, they're going to start broadcasting Power Slap on a network. I don't think that's like a bad take on it. But as I've said, and I'll continue to say, ain't for me, but if it's for you, have fun. Have fun with it. Enjoy it. And I think a lot of those events are going to be more about the experience. You never know which celebrity is going to show up that are clearly being paid to show up and take part in an event. You know what I'm saying? So good on that. That's where everything is. He wants to sort of hang out with the Nelk boys and, you know, play blackjack, and he's earned that shit. Have at it, man. Have at it. But clearly he's not the same guy with the UFC that he was. And we're going to talk like later on today, we're going to do the UFC 100 watch party. The Dana White back then compared to the Dana White right now, two totally different cats, two totally different dudes. The passion for the UFC, much different than it is now. Because when you win the race, you still want it to be successful. You're not going to let it fall. But at the same token, you don't need to do much more. You're getting so much. Like, look at UFC 301 right now. They don't need to do these. Like, every pay-per-view they put on does not have to be $299 or $300 anymore. They can squeeze right through with 301, and it does nothing to their bottom line. They will still profit off of 301, even if nobody buys the pay-per-view. They will still profit off of it. They are killing it. And it does, you know, the motivations change a little bit when you're doing that. And that's kind of where Dana is right now. Do I think he's going to be a guy that's going to sit in that office until he can't do it anymore? Yeah. For sure. No doubt about it. The other question was just, you know, some of the names. Ilya, Izzy, John. John, I would guess, would be like, they'll probably save him for MSG. Could be sooner. But I think John will fight this year. I certainly think Izzy's going to fight this year. There are rumors that, and I haven't confirmed any of this, there are rumors potentially going back to Sydney in August or somewhere in Australia in August. So that wouldn't be a bad place to do DDP Izzy. You could do Topuria Volkanovski 2 on that card. Yeah, I think all those guys are going to fight this year. When? Summer and beyond would be my guess. We'll see how it plays out. Four Corner Sports, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, are you able to hear me?
Yeah.
All right, so I felt like I agree with you with what you said earlier about Rose. I feel like she doesn't look like a complete flyweight, but she's filled in, and I feel like she can have some success in this flyweight division. I don't know if she's going to be able to contend with, like, the, I would say maybe, like, the top three. I mean, I know she struggled with Manon. I know she was a little bit undersized. I think if she fights Manon at this, you know, frame that she's in now that she won on Saturday, I feel like, you know, it'll be a little bit more close to even, but I would still favor Manon. I would favor I would still favor Macy over her, just because I feel like the way that Macy fights, that she fights like a hoss. I feel like she's fights, you know, like more of like a bully type of mentality. And obviously Shevchenko and Grasso, you know, they're the top tier. Shevchenko, Grasso, and Blanchfield are the three top tier flyweights in the women's division. And I feel like if she's going to have any success, I feel like she might be able to catch Shevchenko, just because I feel like she's towards the back end of her career, even though I know she has tied with Alexa in her last fight. I just feel like Rose, you know, there's a limit, and I don't think she's going to be able to capture that flyweight title just because I think that Erin Blanchfield is going to be the person that's going to be ruling this division for years to come. Another thing I wanted to say was debating on going to this AC card. This AC card is dog shit. Only reason I'm debating on going is just because I have a huge bet on Erin Blanchfield. But, I mean, outside of Erin Blanchfield, I mean, like, this is a very apexy type of a card. I don't know what's your thoughts on this AC card. And then lastly, shout out to Mark Ramondi. I know he put out a tweet out there that he's going to be leaving the MMA media space and covering the Falcons. I know I think he used to work for MMA Fighting back in the day. And the man has put out some tremendous work out there for years covering the sport. And it's going to suck seeing him not cover the sport anymore, but I'm pretty sure he's going to kill it covering the Falcons in the NFL. All right, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, man. Yeah, look, I think Rose could beat Macy. I think Rose could beat Grasso. I think Rose could beat Shevchenko, too. We'll see. You know, it's those types of moments where everyone's like, yeah, I don't think she can do it. That's when she shows up and does it. So, yeah, let's see her fill into that frame a little bit more. I definitely think she could beat Macy Barber, depending on what the betting line was. If Macy is a favorite, I am definitely, no matter when that card happens, I'm definitely going to take a dog shot on Rose Namajunas. Now, I know Macy is a hoss and, you know, she kind of bull rushes a little bit, but you can't do that against somebody like Valentina, like Rose Namajunas. She'll get kicked right in the face. And I know Macy's pretty durable and stuff, but I just think Rose has just seen it all, done it all at this point, and there you go. Yeah, this AC card is a tough one, guys. I can't lie to you. This would be a passable Apex card. This would be like a not a good Apex card. This would be a decent Apex card. We'd be like, yeah, I think this would be fun. Good main event. There's stakes there. But, like, that's it. Like, Luque is fighting Joaquin Buckley. Yeah, there's some stakes for Buckley. It's high risk, low reward for Luque. Bruno Silva, Chris Weidman is interesting because more so on the Weidman side. Can he get a win? Can he get it back? If he gets thumped up by Bruno Silva, is that it? Something to think about there. Rudzibov is looked real good. We'll see how he does. Bilal Geo, Kyle Nelson, fine fight. Chidi versus Reese McKee, okay. Nate Landwehr, Jamal Emmers, that could be fun. John Jaroba, Lupi Godinez could be fun. It's just a lot, man. Like, it's an Apex card in front of people. Even if they had, like, Luque versus Sean Brady would have definitely bumped this up a little bit. If you had Dominic Reyes versus Carlos Ulberg on there, bumps it up a little bit. If Landwehr's Pat Sabatini was the fight, definitely bumps it up a little bit. But, yeah, this is about as okay of a fight night as you'll get top to bottom. I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but, like, it's just the way it is. Like, look at the fights. The fact that you're even on here debating whether or not you should go to this event tells me a lot. Let me see. I have to see what this look. I have to see what the tickets look like right now. I got to see what this all looks like. Atlantic City. Let's take a gander, shall we? Let's see what we're looking at here. Yeesh. There's a lot of tickets left for this card. A lot. There's like full sections that are still available. Yeah, this is not gonna be a sellout. There's no friggin' way this is gonna sell out. But it's okay. UFC still gonna profit, still gonna make a bunch of money. Tickets are, I think for like the cheapest seat right now is $135. Just don't know if you're gonna get that. But you go see the great GC, he'll be there. I think New York Rick's gonna be there as well. So yeah. There you have it. Do I think you'll have like a terrible time watching this card? No. But it's just not good. 14 fights. 10 p.m. Eastern main card. Is that what this is? Can't be. Let me see. It can't be. Oh, it sure is. 10 p.m. Eastern main card. Holy shitballs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fights in the main card. Golly. We're gonna be hanging out till about after the post show to like 3 a.m., guys. So buckle up. This is a 4 p.m. This is a 1 p.m. Eastern prelim 4 p.m. main card. This would bump it up a notch if this was at a normal time for what fight night should be. But yeah, I'm with you on that. It's very okay. All right. Well, we're done here. Hate to end it on like that note, but we'll talk more about this card throughout the week. But if you're thinking about that and you're like, man, let's talk about like a stacked car. Let's go back in time to when things were in a different place where everybody was hungry and ready to go. We go back to July of 2009, UFC 100. We're on the road to UFC 300. Tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on the MMA Fighting YouTube channel, we are going to go back into the time machine. We're going to go back 15 or so years. To UFC 100. We're going to have a little bit of a watch party. We're going to do it all together. We're going to have some fun. We're going to answer some questions. We're going to have some people on that were in attendance for UFC 100. Some people who are fans watching it, who watch UFC 100 live as it happened. I was a person who watched UFC 100 live as it happened. We'll go back in time and we'll all watch it at the same time. So get your ESPN Plus or your Fight Pass or wherever you would go back and watch these events ready. And at the beginning of the show, we'll line things up together. We'll go through a brief history. We'll watch the fights. Just the main card. Four fights. Four fight main card. That's what it was back then. Sexy Yama versus Alan Belcher. Then we got Dan Henderson versus Michael Bisping, George St. Pierre versus Thiago Alves for the UFC welterweight title, and then Brock Lesnar versus Frank Mir 2, the main event of UFC 100. So 8 p.m. Eastern, we're going to have a good time. Next week we'll do UFC 200, and we will get you ready for UFC 300. So a lot of fun going down. A lot of people asking when the Mike Perry golf video is coming out. As of now, the plan is Thursday morning. We are pretty much in the finalizing stages of that video. We wanted to make sure it was like absolutely perfect. Everything we wanted it to be before we put it out there. Appreciate the patience. I know a lot of people, when they saw like the teases for it, they're like, we want it now. We want it now. Totally get it. I'm getting antsy about it myself, but looks like Thursday we are going to be a go. For that coming out, it's going to be super fun, fast paced, a lot of moving parts. It's going to be really cool. And we want to be able to do more of those. So the way we can do more of those is if you just watch it, it's going to be like 20 minutes. You're going to get 9 holes of golf with some chit chat and some fun moments in 20 minutes. Doesn't get much better than that. So Thursday, get excited. And speaking of Thursday, we will see you back on this show Thursday, 10:15-ish a.m. Eastern time, right here on the MMA Fighting Twitter space. Have a great rest of your day, and have a heck of a morning, everybody.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.